The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
Simon Kuf Samech He, Seif Ches. Medina mutar l'tinok Yisrael linok migoya. The halacha is that it is permissible for a Jewish baby to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Mikol makom, nevertheless, im efshar al yedei Yisraelis, if it is possible to do so through a Jewish woman, lo yanichu linok migoya. We should not allow him to nurse from a non-Jew. Mishum dimitamtem es halev umolid mezegra. Because if he nurses from a non-Jew, it will block his heart metaphysically, meaning it will block his ability to achieve ruchnius, and it will put into him negative attributes, or give him bad midos. When this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, there's a comment on it from the Bir Hagra, where he explains that the origin of this halacha is from the Medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was a baby, would not nurse from any of the Egyptian nursemaids, because in the future he would speak with the Shechina. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, in the Emes LeYaakov, asked the following question. He says, I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why he wouldn't nurse or couldn't nurse is because he was destined to speak with the Shechina. And that's why he wouldn't nurse. So, if this is the origin of the halacha, then for anyone else who is not destined to speak with the Shechina, there should be no problem for them to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Based on this, Rav Yaakov concludes that every child has to be raised with the understanding and with the perspective that this child might end up being so great that he will speak with the Shechina. And this is a very powerful attitude in terms of how we should view our children and how we should raise them. The halacha continues. V'chein meinekes Yisraelis, a Jewish woman who is nursing, shetzricha le'echol meichalei iser l'refuah, that for medical purposes she needs to eat foods which are normally forbidden. Im efshar, if it's possible, lo seinek bayom mehei mesatinek. During these days, she should not nurse the baby, because we don't want the baby to ingest a non-kosher taste into it. Even though technically, halachically, it is mutter, but if it is avoidable, it will be better for the ruchnius of the child. Okay, so now we're up to the halachas of teaching children Torah. Halacha tes. Kol av mechuyav l'lamed es bino Torah. Every father is obligated to teach his son Torah. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in Shema, Vilimadtem osam es b'neichem l'daver bom. And you should teach your children to speak in it, to speak words of Torah. Ukeshem shem mitzvah l'lamed es bino. And the Gemara tells us that the same way there is a obligation to teach your child, to teach your son, kach mitzvah d'lamed es ben bino. So there's also a mitzvah to teach your grandson. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, v'hodatem livanecha v'livnei vanecha. And you should inform your children and grandchildren. We will now discuss what to teach a young child. What are the first things to teach him? In Halacha Yud, it says, Miyad, immediately, kishatinok maschil ledaber, when a child begins to speak, yilamdo hapasik, you should teach him the pasik, Torah, tziva, lanu, Moshe, morosha, kilas Yaakov, v'chein pasik, shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. These are the first things to teach a baby when he begins to speak. Now it's interesting. When a child first begins to talk, he has no idea what he's saying. He's just parroting. He's just repeating sounds. But nevertheless, it is critical to start him off that the very first things that he is saying would be these psukim. Because when you speak, it has an impact upon you, even if you have no idea what you're saying. So we want to initiate his speech with these critical psukim. Now, I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Weinberg Zitzel, that when the Gemara says this, it's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, that these are the psukim that should be taught. It is the order of the two psukim is also very important, meaning the very first pasuk to teach him is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Only after that do we teach the first pasuk in Kriya Shema, because it is very important that a child should understand, or a child should at least say the words, that the Torah is the heritage of the Jewish nation. Once he has gotten that in his system, now he is ready for the fundamentals of our faith, which is Shema Yisrael. It's interesting, though, in the Chayei Adam, when he brings down this halacha, for some reason he flips the two psukim. I don't know why. I don't understand why he's flipping the psukim. In the Gemara it says in this order, I don't know why he put Shema Yisrael first. The other interesting thing is, in the Chayei Adam, that when he says that the first things you should teach a child, he says these two psukim of Shema Yisrael and Torah Tziva Lanu, and he also says Birkas HaMazon, you should teach him to bench. In the Emes LeYaakov of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, this is actually in Parshas Ekev, he quotes this Chayei Adam, and he says, I don't understand it. Why should we teach him benching so early? On the contrary, it seems from the Beis Yosef and Siman Kuf Tzadi Tes that we don't teach children how to bench. The normal time for teaching them is when they are at least age 7. So the Chayei Adam is strange. Why does he say Birkas HaMazon is one of the first things to teach a child? In any case, it is also interesting that this that the Gemara says, that we should teach these psukim of Torah Tziva Lanu and Shema Yisrael, that is not the opinion of the Talmud Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi it says that the first Torah that you should teach a child is the pasuk of Shema Bini Musar Avicha. In any case, we definitely do not paskin like the Yerushalmi, and we should try to make sure that the first thing that a child says when he learns how to speak is Torah Tziva Lanu and the pasuk of Shema Yisrael. The Kitzer goes on, he says, Raki Zaher Mahod, but you should be very careful. Sheyehe Hatinok Naki Bishah Shehu Melamadoso, that the child is clean when you teach it to him. Ayin Le'il Simen Hei Sif Gimel, there it says that you're not allowed to learn Torah when there's a bad smell. V'chein Melamdo Ma'at Ma'at Eza Psukim, you teach him a little bit at a time, different Psukim. Until he's strong enough to be able to go to a yeshiva, to a cheder, for oz yiskar lo milamed, and then you hire for him a teacher, v'yedaktik livchar milamed shehu yare shemayim, and you should be careful to choose a Rebbe who's going to be someone with Yerushalayim, Laman Yargo Esatinok Minu'ura B'Yerushalayim, so that right away the child will become accustomed from his youngest age to have himself Yerushalayim. Ukeshehagia Hatinok Lomad Mikra. When a child begins to learn Chumash, Noagin Lahasko Imo Parshas Vayikra. The minig is to begin teaching him not with Bereshis, but rather with Vayikra. Shehi Parshas HaKabonos, because this is the parsha of the offering of kabanas, the Amar of Aseinu Zechroinu Levracha, because Chazal tell us, Yavoo Tahorim, the Hainu Tinoko Shabbos Rabbah, the Tahorim, the pure one should come, meaning the pure children should come, via Asko B'Tahorim, and they should be involved with aspects of Tahara. Now, it's not saying that you have to teach the entire Sefer Vayikra before you teach any other part of Chumash, but the very first psukim that he should be taught should be psukim from Sefer Vayikra. After you do that, then you can proceed and go back to Bereishis if you want. Halacha Yud Aleph. Now we're up to the details of teaching the children from the perspective of the Melamed, from the Rebbe. HaMelamed Sarech Leshev Ululamed Esitinokos Kohayom Uktsas Min Alayla. A Rebbe has to be teaching the children all day and part of the night. Kidei Lechanchom Lilmod Bayom Ubalayla. So that the children become initiated, they become accustomed to the idea that they should be learning both day and night. V'lo Yivatlu HaTinokos Klau. And you should not interrupt the children from their learning at all. Chutz mei Erev Shabbos, the Erev Yom Tov b'sof hayom, except on Friday, and an Erev Yom Tov as it gets to the end of the day. In fact, this should just convey to us how important it is to not interrupt children from their learning. Ein mevatlin esatinokos afilo lebinyan beis hamikdash. Even if it's time to build the beis hamikdash and they need more people to build it, we still don't interrupt the children from their learning, because the learning of children is so important to us. Halacha Yud Beis. Now we're discussing more principles of the Rebbe. Milame tinoko shemaniach esa tinokos v'yotze. If you have a Rebbe that abandons the children and goes out, oh, she'osim malach acheres imahem, or he does something else with them, something other than teaching them Torah. Oh, she'misrashel b'talmudo, or someone who is negligent, he's lazy with his learning. Hareze b'chlau oror osem melechas Hashem remia. He's in the category of cursed, is the person who takes the malacha, the work of Hashem, and corrupts it. Lefikach ein lahoshiv milamed ela bal yira. You should only appoint a Rebbe who is going to be someone with Yerushalayim, Mahir Lekro Uludakdek, someone who is excited about learning, and someone who's careful about it. Ve'ein l'melamed lios ne'er b'layla yosemidai. Someone who is a Rebbe, he has a responsibility to the students, and therefore he's not allowed to stay up too late at night. Shelo yeh otzel b'yom l'lamed. So he shouldn't be lazy and tired during the daytime when it's time for him to teach. Ve'ein lo yis'aneh. He's not allowed to fast. O ya'atzar es atzma mimaycho amishta, or to hold back from himself food or drink. O la'echo v'lishto yotzer midai, or to even drink too much. Ki kol elu hadvarim garmim shelo yuchal l'lamed heitev, because all these things could cause him that he won't be able to teach properly. V'kol ha'mishaneh yodo ala tachtona umisalkinlei. Anyone who changes in the methodology of teaching children, so he's done wrong, he has the bottom hand, and you remove him, because we have to follow the tradition. Okay, in Halacha Yud Gimel, we're discussing the issue about a Rebbe striking the students. Lo yaka osam makas oyev musa achzori. A Rebbe is not allowed to hit like one strikes an enemy, or when he's giving musar in a harsh manner. Lo bishotim velo bimakel. He can't do it with a stick. Ela biritsua ktana, but rather with a small strap. Now today, mechanchim have come to the conclusion that it's counterproductive to strike the children, and therefore in almost all institutions this is not done anymore. Halacha Yudalid. Ein melamden esetinokos b'shabbos. Dover chodosh shalolamdu adayin. on Shabbos, and you see that they had school on Shabbos also. On Shabbos, the Rebbe should not teach the children something new that they have not yet learned. Mishum Tereach Shabbos, because it's going to be a Terech on Shabbos. You know, Shabbos should be pleasant. It shouldn't be so difficult. Aval Mashakoru Pamachas, but that which they already learned, Shonim Mosoi Lehem B'Shabbos. You could review it with them on Shabbos. Okay, Halacha Tesvav is really nothing to do with teaching the children Torah, but it's another law that pertains to children. Katan Shematza Mitzia, if you have a child that found some lost object, Umikol Shein Imnasin Lo Acha Eza Dava Bimatana, and certainly if someone else gave a present to the child, also Lugozla Mimeno, it's forbidden to steal it from a child. It could be that the reason that this is placed over here in the laws of Chinuch is because often educators think they have the right to confiscate belongings from children. And the halacha is not that way. They do not have the right to do so. Something which belongs to the child, it would be gezel, it would be theft to take it away from them. Halacha Tezayin. Ein Mosrin Tinok Yisrael Legoy Lulamdo Sefer or Lulamdo Umnus. It is forbidden to give a Jewish child over to non-Jews to have them teach any studies or to teach a profession. Mikol Shein to also Lemosro LaApikoros Yisrael. It's all the more so much worse to give a child over to a Jewish heretic. The Goratve, it's worse. The Ikar Lemechash, and we have to be concerned. Dilma Mamshech Abasre. Maybe the child will follow in the path of his teacher, and that would be catastrophic. Therefore, it is critical that the children only be taught by those who have Yirah Shemayim. The truth is that over the years, Klal Yisrael still has not discovered a foolproof method to ensure that our children do not, chas v'shalom, become apikosim. Sometimes even children from the finest families who have the best chinuch still go off the derech. We don't always know why this is, but we have to do the best that we can to ensure that our children will be protected from negative influences. There's a very interesting idea. When the Malach tells Hagar about Yishmael, about the nature of Yishmael, he tells her, "V'hu yeh pera adam yadoi bakol v'yad ko bo v'akol pnei v'apnei ko echav yishkon." That basically he's going to be a wild animal. His hand will be everywhere. He's going to try to dominate everything. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in the time of the Kura, asks, why did the Malach inform Hagar of this bad news? He says, you know what, this was not a nevuah. It's not something that must happen, because after all, Yishmael has bechira, he has free will. Rather, she was being informed that this is Yishmael's nature, so that she will know how to be mechanachim. You have to know the nature of your children. It is somewhat similar to Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, that the Gemara says that his mother was told that he would be a thief, so she always had his head covered in order to protect him from theft, in order that he should have Yirah Shemayim, and it worked, as long as the head covering stayed on. There's an interesting question that mechanchim often have. How do we teach children sensitive parts of Tanakh and of Mishnah and Gemara, which seems to defy our standards of tznius? There are parts of Chumash, such as the story of Yehuda and Tamar. There are many parts of Navi where it seems that we are exposing our children to everything that we're trying to shield them from. So there's a sefer called Titein Emes LeYaakov. It's written by Rav Yaakov Fish. And he says, he asked this question of Rav Elyashiv Zatzal and of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, and they both told him, it is usur to corrupt words of Torah. You cannot change the story. You're not allowed to tell over the story in a manner that is not what happened. You can't change the psukim to corrupt them so that the child won't understand what's going on. What they said is that if you teach Torah properly, it will not harm the child's mind. Now, of course, whenever possible, you could speak in generalities. You don't have to get into specifics. But to corrupt the Torah, to alter the psukim, that is something which is usur. Today, chinuch seems to be more challenging than ever before. There are so many distractions, and so often children have difficulty grasping the basic concepts of Torah. But the truth is, we should not be despondent. Some of the greatest minds in the Jewish world came out of children who had great difficulties in their youth. A classic example of this is the Rambam. There's a legend about the Rambam, a very well-known legend. Whether it's true or not is a different story. But it's brought down in the Sefer Shalshelus HaKabbalah that says that the Rambam, in his youth, was not good in his studies at all, to the extent that his father used to hit him, and he threw him out of the house. And one time the Rambam left the house, he went to the shul, and he fell asleep there. There he had a dream that he would become a different person, he would become great. And then he fled to a different city where he studied under Rabbi Yosef ibn Migash, the Rebbe Migash. He started to learn with great hasmada, and of course the end of the story was he became well known as the Rambam. He returned back to his city of Cordova, and instead of going to his father's home, he went to the shul where he gave a public drasha. And then his father heard him, he was so impressed, and he came to him, and he embraced him, and he kissed him, and he welcomed him back to the home. Now, there's a lot of question about the veracity of the story. The Chida has a number of points where he challenges the authenticity of the story. But whether it's true or not, the lesson of the story is definitely true. There's one story where no one challenges its veracity, and that is the story about the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who he was born in the beginning of the 19th century in the city of Mir. And as a young child, he was not doing well in his studies, until one day he overheard that his parents were discussing what to do with Nebuch Naftali Tzvi, who can't learn, and they decided that they were going to send him away from the city, send him to a farm, so at least he could learn how to be a farmer if he can't learn Torah. And when Naftali Tzvi heard this, he was so distraught, he began to cry, and he came out and told his parents that no, he's going to try harder. And of course, the end was that he became the famous Netziv. By the time he was 11 years old, they sent him to learn the Volozhin. And it was obvious right away that he was destined for greatness. But it wasn't so obvious when he was a younger child. As a younger child, he had such great difficulty in learning. His parents saw no chance in him. So what we should learn from this is never to despair. Of course, we have to work hard in finding the right methodology to reach out to each child. But we should never give up on a child.
When the Gemara in Kiddushin lists off the various responsibilities that a father has in terms of what he must teach his son, one of the things it lists is, says, V'yesh omrim, and others say, Af lahashito b'mayim, that you have to teach him how to swim. So Rashi explains that we're concerned that maybe one day he'll be on a boat, and the boat will turn over, and if he doesn't know how to swim, so then his life will be endangered. Now, what's interesting is, it's Braza Yesh Omrim, which means that it's not universally accepted that you must teach him this. The Tanna Kamma would hold that it's not a requirement to teach your son how to swim. In the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, he brings down that we paskin like the Yesh Omrim, which means that you must teach your child how to swim. However, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does not mention anything about this requirement. Based on this, there's a tshuva in the Binyan Sion, in Simen Kuf Chaf Hei, that he says it's clear that the Rambam changed his mind in the Mishnah Torah, and that really now the halacha is like the opinion that it is not a requirement to teach your child how to swim. Now, one of the interesting things from this Gemara is it seems like these are requirements that a father has to a son, but doesn't sound like it's a requirement that has to be done to a daughter. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky explained that really, even according to the Yesh Omrim that says that one must teach their son how to swim, their daughter is not necessary, because usually she doesn't go out deep in the water enough that her life wouldn't be endangered. But obviously, it would not be the case, meaning if a girl's life would be as endangered as a boy's life, there's no question there would be a requirement to teach your daughter how to swim as well. The truth is, it's not so clear to me, because it could be that this Gemara is discussing a father's responsibility to teach his son, and teaching a daughter how to swim might be a mother's responsibility, in which case it doesn't happen to be listed here. But whatever the case, whether the halacha is that you are required or you're not required to teach your son or to teach your daughter, everyone agrees that it's a good thing to do to teach your child how to swim.